Well, it's Christmas, and here I sit, recording a Christmas message in our church's worship center. Normally, this time of year, we'd have all kinds of decorations up in this room, but we don't. The few Christmas things we had are either in pieces or already boxed up and put away for the season. Normally, we'd be getting ready to fill these pews with people for a couple of Christmas Eve services. We'd have, you know, candles glowing and carols being sung. There'd be people over there, you know, laughing together, and folks over in that corner probably sharing Christmas cards with one another. People out in the foyer giving hugs to one another. But not this Christmas. This Christmas, this auditorium is going to sit empty. It's going to be quiet. The lights will be out. The doors locked. Not a creature will be stirring. Though given our country location, there's the potential for a mouse or two. But that's going to be about it. Can I let you in on a little secret? This is not the Christmas I was hoping for. Now, of course, you know, this empty room is just a symptom of a much broader reality called COVID. And COVID is messing with our Christmas. It's just a few weeks ago that we had our fears confirmed that our family gatherings would be off, our parties canceled, the events and experiences in the community that are a normal part of the season, well, it's going to be like they never existed. This is not the Christmas I was hoping for. And don't forget, like, I'm the guy who usually gets after people for starting to play Christmas music too early. And by too early, I mean, you know, any time before December 24th. But this year, well, I'm even feeling more charitable about that because, like, I need something to feel like a normal Christmas. This is not the Christmas I was hoping for. And I find that I'm carrying with me a whole bucket full of disappointment. And somehow I feel okay just saying that to you this time around. I mean, normally, you know, Christmas is the time when, even if things aren't going well, we're all sort of just expected to put on a smiling face and at least pretend like it's the most wonderful time of the year. You know, it's almost like it's socially unacceptable to be disappointed at Christmas. But I think in some ways, a COVID Christmas makes it feel more okay for me to admit to you my feelings of disappointment because, well, after all, we're all experiencing the same pandemic and we're all having our Christmases messed with and most of us don't like it. And since we're all in the same boat, somehow it feels more acceptable to admit disappointment. And yet, if I'm going to be honest with myself and honest with you, I realize that the disappointment I carry, it's actually not all COVID-induced. In fact, I'm not sure it's even mostly about COVID. Because the disappointments that COVID has brought, you know, beyond that, there's the reality that I'm coming to Christmas feeling other disappointments. Disappointments about the ways in which the script for my life hasn't gone exactly as I would have written it. It hasn't all gone to plan. Then there's my recognition that there are things I've left undone, or half done, or shouldn't have done. There are things I've let get the better of me. There are friends I've hurt. Circumstances I haven't figured out quite how to fix yet. Things I've tried and failed at. People who I've let down, and they're sure to let me know it. And come to think of it, you know, of all the disappointments I could list, maybe I'm mostly just disappointed in myself. I don't know, somehow a COVID Christmas makes me feel more free to be brutally honest about my disappointment, even if most of my disappointment actually has very little to do with COVID. Which brings me to that little baby, lying there in a manger, born to an unwed young woman, she and her fiancé trying to make the best of less than ideal circumstances. Christmas is, after all, supposed to be about that little boy, and so I find myself, with all these disappointments swirling around in my heart, I find myself staring at the manger scene and wondering what it all means in light of all that I'm carrying this Christmas. And as I sit there staring, you know, all of a sudden it strikes me. It strikes me how extraordinarily profound this scene is. I mean, all at once, it's as absurd to say as it is true. That is the Son of God lying there. What's he doing there? It doesn't make sense. The Son of God lying there. I mean, surely God could have sprung for a nice room, a warm bed, better company, at the very least somewhere with room service. I mean, why is Jesus there? And for a moment, my disappointed heart dares to believe that maybe he's lying there. Lying there in that completely undignified place with smells only a farmer could love, being kept company by animals, lying in their dinner plate, no less. I mean, maybe he's lying there precisely because God knows that what I desperately need to be convinced of is that there is nowhere, absolutely nowhere, he's unwilling to show up. No place he's unwilling to visit. No lengths he's unwilling to go to in order to pursue me and demonstrate his love for me and rekindle in me hope. I mean, really, this is incredible when you think about it. God was so intent to show how much he loved this world, so determined to free all of creation from sin and death, so committed to fully identifying with us and sharing our experience, that he entered the world as a fragile newborn baby, utterly dependent, entrusted to an unwed mom, just a young girl, really, who had not planned this pregnancy and who had never raised a child before. I mean, think about it. She's going to learn on Jesus. I mean, what if she dropped him? What if she fed him tainted food? What if she rolled over on him in her sleep? What if she didn't keep a close enough eye on him and he crawled away? And don't think for a moment that that wasn't a possibility. We're talking about the same parents who forgot him in Jerusalem before he was even a teenager and took 3 days to find him. Like, I'm sorry, God, but this is not a good idea. This is an ill-conceived plan right from the start. And then again, by that logic, you know, none of the plan made sense. Not just the beginning. I mean, after all, we're talking about a plan that had, as part of its climax, this baby growing up, only to be executed as a criminal. And safety and security clearly weren't all that high on God's priority list when he made the plan. You know, some might say that a God who would start his life as a fragile infant in a feeding trough and end it with a broken body on a criminal's cross is the picture of a weak God. But to a person like me, who desperately needs a fresh dose of hope, nothing could be further from the truth. Because what I see, if I let myself gaze long enough at the manger and gaze long enough at the cross, is a God who will go to any length to reach me, to love me, to rescue me, to give me hope. Because surely a God who was willing to show up in a cradle and show up on a cross, I mean, surely this is a God who is completely willing to show up in the middle of my failures in life. Surely he's still willing to show up in those relationships that feel hopelessly estranged. Surely he's still willing to be present in my deepest disappointments. How can I look at the Christ child lying there in the manger and not believe in a God who's willing to show up absolutely anywhere, under any conditions, to deliver hope? I can't. It's a profound truth about an amazing God. So look, I'm as disappointed as many of you are that we won't be gathering in this worship center to celebrate Christmas together this year. But maybe, just for this one year, God is maybe sending us a message by way of an empty worship center. Maybe he's reminding us that at the end of the day, the real message of Christmas isn't about you and I coming here to find Jesus. The real message of Christmas is the truth of a God who moved your direction, who set out to come and find you right where you're at, and who still comes to find you. A God who's even willing to be born into the lowly, smelly, undignified recesses of our lives because his love for us is that deep, because he is that intent to deliver hope, even in the midst of our discouragements and disappointments. And you need look no further than the manger to know that this is profoundly true. And if that is not good news for a very strange Christmas indeed, I don't know what is. This Advent season, we've been using a simple prayer to guide our journey. And it seems fitting that we would pray it once more again as our Christmas prayer. God of hope, we look to you with an open heart and yearning spirit to renew our confidence in your promises. Today, we will keep alert and alive to your presence, expecting to receive your grace and to live by your truth. Our trust is in your Son, Jesus.